Greetings from K9 to Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum. End of message.
Faithless sisters, and welcome to episode 123 of the Diddly Dum podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
And I'm Mark.
And this is our Christmas podcast. You may be wondering where our own Hayden is. Mark and I are currently stood at the front window of the Whoseum waiting for him to turn up with our annual Christmas festivity delivery of Dandelion and Burdock to go in the vast barrels below the cellar. Oh, hang on. What's that I hear?
Oh, I'm cupping my ear. It's Christmas!
Right, can you open the door, please, computer? Oh, actually, no, it's far too cold. Computer, can you remotely operate the street doors to the wine cellar, please? Yeah, no, we're staying in here. A bit too cold. Shove your pipe down the hole, will you?
Oh. Can I have the help of the robots, please, Doc? Just to carry the crates in, if that's
all right.
Yeah,
sure.
Mate. Okay.
Out you go, a couple of you. Help Hayden.
Okay, right. Now remember, minions, this way up. No, this way up. No, this way up. Yeah, that way up. Right, lads, I bring you glad tidings. We have got, just for you here, chaps, Dandelion and Burdock.
Oh.
And we have Brigabeer, about 5% proof, so I wouldn't have any more than one if you're driving tonight, lads. And my own little bakery course has also come up with, I'm really happy with these. I've made some festive mince pies, and they are...
Oh, lovely.
As you may see, they've got little Hawaiian shirts on.
Oh.
In tribute to, of course, Mr. John Nathan Turner.
Oh, let's try one. Ooh.
Go for it.
This is totally tasteless.
And that's not it, ladies and gentlemen. Oh no, dear listeners. I've also brought them a little something else as well. So if you would look in the satchels that I've just given you, there is a missing episode in there. One for each of you. Yes, I managed to break into Phil Morris's depot in Wigan and managed to grab a couple of missing episodes. And there we go. If you'd just like to open them up, you can now just reveal your dream missing episode.
Galaxy 4, Episode 2! Oh, I'd be dying to watch this.
It's the episode I've always wanted to be most missing. It's both parts of The End of Time. Just stoke up the fire with the poker, will you please, Mark? Oh, it's missing. Oh, how sad.
And for our listeners as well, just a very Merry Christmas.
Aww.
Yes, from us all.
No, just from me.
Has there been any news around?
Yes, there has been some. There's been some reveals from the BBC themselves. They've actually given us a trailer. Although before the trailer, they had... sorry, I'm still giggling at the memory of it. The reveal of two special guests that has to be one of the most ham-fisted and cheap-looking...
Bun-vendory.
One of the cheapest looking guest star reveals that I've ever seen. I showed it to Polly. We watched it about four times in a row and we were practically crying with laughter. It starts off with a silhouette and you can just kind of make out a crumpled old bedsheet hung up in the background. And there's a silhouette of someone. And you can actually hear the click of a light being switched on because for some reason they've recorded it with sounds. You can hear a click of a light being turned on. And there's Stephen Fry revealed. And they must have said, Stephen, can you please try and look extra smug for this? He does. Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah.
His expression. I mean, I love Stephen Fry's bits. And I've just been watching Blackadder Goes Forth, which is magnificent. He's brilliant in it. And, oh no, his expression, bless him. I mean, obviously it was just something off the cuff. They've gone like, smile.
It's just the thing with all the question marks around his face.
Yes, and it's you get the bit of Stephen Fry looking very smug, and then the light goes off again, and then it suddenly goes and in a really bit of cheap computer graphics with some white question marks hovering around it. And another silhouette pops up, and you hear the click of the light, and there's that old crumpled old bedsheet hanging in the background, and there's poor Lenny Henry sat in front of it. with the light reflecting off his glasses, and it just...
Oh dear, he does look smug, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's it there, yeah. And then that and...
Oh, that's a nice smile. I did notice, can't say I'm particularly whelmed by those revelations. I did notice on our theme of how likely is it that a member of the Doctor Who cast has said something in a press release, and has it just been put together by someone in the Doctor Who press department. Which of these two quotes, I think one of them sounds as if the person in question has really said it themselves, and the other sounds as if it's just been put together by a computer in the BBC press office. So guess which is which. Speaking ahead of his Doctor Who appearance, Stephen Fry said, short of being picked for a British space exploration programme, and I readily concede that I'm past the age where I'd be considered. If I was ever the right age for such a posting, then being in an episode of Doctor Who will certainly do as a very sweet second-place excitement. Sir Lenny Henry, CBE, added, it was absolutely brilliant to be welcomed into the fantastical world of Doctor Who. The nearest I had been to the TARDIS was when I played the Caribbean Doctor in the Lenny Henry show. So as a lifelong hiding behind the sofa type Doctor Who fan, this is a very special moment for me. Any votes for which one?
But did you see what ended up on the cutting room floor of Lenny Henry's press release? I said, my favourite Doctor when I was growing up was Peter Baker, and I loved his companion, Sarah Romana, Tam, and their faithful cat, Dog Nine.
What did we think of the trailer?
Oh, the actual trailer, when the actual trailer arrived, not the guest star reveal.
Yeah.
I thought it looked good, it looked promising.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
It's hard to tell, isn't it?
You know what they've done, don't you? They've taken the criticism on board that last season was about as exciting in the vast majority of places as a funeral. And they've let's just put all the explosions, very quick cutting, really excited. Let's make it look excited. That's the buzzword that they would have used to make that thing. And I, for one, I thought, yeah, it's pretty good. There was a bit of a glimpse of a Cyberman at one point. There was a little glimpse of Stephen Fry. Sorry, when we were talking about the press release earlier, do we say Sir Lenny Henry and Stephen Fry? So Stephen Fry isn't a Knight of the Realm.
No.
But he's chummy with old Charlie Boy, isn't he? Sorry, that was my Ben Jackson impression. He's matey with that with old Charlie Boy, isn't he? But no, he's
Charlie Boy.
Prince Charles. He's really great friends with him.
Oh right, that's true. Maybe it's more.
Could be that he's turned it down, you never know.
But I thought they were great mates. But there we are. No, that's surprising. But anyway, no, I thought it's got potential. Doc, what did you think?
Didn't really do much for me, I'm afraid. I was quite surprised by, you know, certainly in the RTD era, the trailers would all be a sort of dum-dum-dum-da-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum sort of racy thing. It seemed quite, almost like jazzy clappy handy sort of music that's going to it. It just seems strange. I'll just have to see how it goes. It didn't particularly excite me. It didn't make me think, oh, God. But I'd completely forgotten that it's actually starting on New Year's Day.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I did not know that, which means our Eccleston retrospective is going to have to wait, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Until
gosh,
probably
yes.
March. Yeah, well, when you said happy clappy then, not happy clappy, when you said it was all very cheery and clappy, I just had the thought of putting Kumbaya over the top of the footage. Let's get a shift on. Kumbaya, my lord.
I have to say, I found last season so flat for most, nearly every episode disappointed me in some way. And I felt no vibe towards the TARDIS team.
Mm.
And indeed, I still... Oh, God, I can't even remember what her name is. Mandeep Gill's character.
Jazz.
I find it hard to get terribly excited about it, which makes me quite sad.
Although, I did we all see the Children in Need clip?
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
That was nice. As someone said after that... on Twitter, that's why the Doctor is a woman. And I was about to reply something. I thought it was someone deliberately trying to wind people up, saying... And then I thought, well, actually, if you think about it, I can't imagine any other of the Doctor actors being someone that someone would rush into the arms and hug. Can you? I mean, I suppose in the same way you couldn't say, as she probably would if Tom Baker had appeared on stage, it would be difficult to imagine Jodie as the little child just staring up at her in gobsmacked awe. But no, I thought it was a lovely moment.
I thought it was lovely. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. And it was really quite heartwarming to see that children still get so excited about the show, because I think we're so old, grizzled and embittered towards the programme now that a pulse-racing trailer with Kumbaya music won't get us hyped for a new series. We're not hyped for the new series. Because we're kind of stung of last year's... It's me every time Spurs get to a semi-final. It's like, oh, not this again. I don't want to have to be put through the pain.
Oh, Doc, did you know that Spurs have got Jose Mourinho as their new manager?
Who?
Spurs, you know, that football team.
Oh, no, I'm not aware of them.
I may have mentioned them once or twice.
Yeah,
anyway, so I think that's probably one of the reasons why you look at something like this and you think, oh, it's so nice that it still means something to the kids, because I think at the end of the day, it's the kids who really matter. Sorry, listeners.
I believe they are our future.
Well, indeed. Well, they are. Yes, exactly. Yes, they'll be the ones who are watching and, you know, influencing the programme, decades to come, if it's still around, of course. But with things like this, it proves that maybe Doctor Who will be around in some kind of incarnation in 10, 20 years' time, because it's still having that magical effect on children now. We may sit there and think, oh, bloody hell, you know, the Ghost Monument, what a crock of shit. Or, oh, man pregnant in the St. Anger conundrum, or whatever it was called. It's just, that's absolute bollocks. Oh.
I mean, to be honest, it's not the first time I've sat and watched Doctor Who with those thoughts going through my head. I mean, as long ago as the 80s, that was happening.
Well, exactly. Exactly, but different breed of fan now, my friend. Yeah. I found it quite funny with them. I was watching it live. I wasn't sure whether you two were. I didn't see that Mark had seen it, so I sent it to you on WhatsApp. And I think Mark's response was probably the funniest and the most ironic and possibly fan-baiting that you could get, and it was hashtag not my doctor.
Yeah, well, it was... I can't believe they just announced the next doctor like that. I'm so annoyed right now. I did an Ian Levine television trick.
When I repeated that on Twitter, I think several people predicted that he just went over their heads. Thought you were being serious.
Yes, I know. You said that I said that. And people go, well, that's awful. Why do people have to be like that? It's like, oh, okay. Never mind.
Does anyone else think that maybe we're overdue another announcement with regards to the Blu-ray collection?
Yes, the season 12 is being re-released, isn't it? Thankfully. That's brilliant news. Absolutely delighted about that.
Mm.
But when's it going to be out?
Yes.
And I'm worried that it's going to sell out really quick again because it's so rare and because people have been spending literally hundreds of pounds on copies, which I think is ridiculous.
They're going to be annoyed, aren't they?
Well, they shouldn't be such idiots, should they? No. To be honest.
I'm not going to broadcast that.
No, I'd stand by it. I think you're an idiot if you pay hundreds of pounds for it.
No. To be fair, Doc, Mark's got a point. People who go on eBay and spend hundreds of pounds on Doctor Who paraphernalia really are idiots. Hang on. Can I just take back those presents I gave you, Mark? There's the fire. Okay.
Oh, my precious Galaxy 4. Well, I just think it's more money than sense, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I completely agree with you.
But I do wonder if people are going to be snapping them up really quickly. I wonder if people are going to be buying them in the dozens to try and put them back on eBay at ridiculous prices.
What surprised me, is it season 26 is the next one coming up?
Yeah.
That's been delayed, isn't it?
No. What? No. A Doctor Who Blu-ray delayed. What? Who'd have thought?
But the last time I checked that out, its release date was the day before Christmas Eve, which is a bizarre time to... Well, who's going to order that for someone's Christmas present? Mm. Because they're going to think, yeah, so what? They might say delivery tomorrow. But I don't trust that.
No.
A lot of people wouldn't bother doing it, would they?
No.
Has anyone been watching War of the Worlds?
Yes, I have.
On the BBC.
It's one of those things where you're really geared up to watch something. You miss the first episode and then you see people bitching about it online and you think, oh, maybe I won't bother.
My main feeling after watching the first episode was that I couldn't believe it was a third of the series gone already. It didn't seem like part one of a three-part story.
Oh, someone commented on, I think it was the Below the Line comments on the Guardian review. Someone said, I was really disappointed. I got to the end last night and thought, God, is that it? And someone replied, I think we ought to break it to you. There's another two episodes to go. I have to say, I thought that, is it Rafe Spall
who's
playing the main lead?
Yeah, yeah.
He is so wishy-washy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's... I don't know if it's part of a character arc and that he's going to... But he has been incredibly sort of... it's a bit like having sort of a 90s Hugh Grant as the... sort of as an action hero, isn't it? It's like going, oh gosh, oh, I don't know, this is so awkward. Oh, here comes a tripod. Oh, you know where the meteor comes down, and they all stood around the meteor and stuff, and it's this big black globe. I mean, one of my favourite bits of the story is that it's like a big, huge meteor with a sort of hatch that unscrews, doesn't it?
Yes, I was hoping for it to start unscrewing.
Yeah, and that's where the tripods come out from, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that didn't happen, did it? This meteor comes down. It's not terribly big. I remember thinking, I thought that would be bigger. And then it sort of pops up in the air and then evaporates. And then later on, you see some tripods walking around. And it's like, well, how did the tripods get here from Mars? Because they don't appear to have come from the meteors that were sent. What are those meteors? Are they like probes?
There's no suggestion that they're cylinders, is there? They're supposed to be cylinders.
Oh, yes, no, that's true, yes. They are supposed to be cylinders, yes. But, I mean, obviously, it's a lot cheaper just to do a CGI ball that pops up in the air and evaporates than it is to do a great big cylinder with a hatch that unscrews and a tripod climbs out of it. But I did feel a bit cheated with that. And I was awfully confused with the red planet bits that they kept showing us in the first thing.
Yeah, it rather takes away the fact, well, obviously she doesn't die.
Yeah, well, also, at first I was wondering, oh, is that what actually happened on... is this a flashback to Mars?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand it. The weirdest bit for me was at the end of episode one, War of the Worlds, where the chimney collapses.
Yeah.
She says, oh, we must help so-and-so.
The maid.
The maid.
Mm.
He says, no, don't bother, she's dead.
Yeah.
And 2 seconds later, they turn back to save the dog.
Yeah, I know. That's the British class system for you, isn't it? But it's Peter Harness, isn't it, who wrote...
Oh, of Doctor Who fame.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's Peter Harness who wrote... Did he write Zygon Invasion Inversion?
Yes, that was Peter Harness, yes.
Oh, that explains a lot.
What else did Peter Harness write? I'm sure he did another one, didn't he?
Kill the Moon.
Oh, yes, bloody hell.
Kill the Moon, the two Zygons, and he also co-wrote The Pyramid at the End of the World, which is one of the monks' ones.
Oh, right,
bloody
yeah.
hell.
Well, it was. I really enjoyed him, the Zygon two-parter at the time. Admittedly, I rewatched it.
But time does go past very quickly. You know what we were doing almost precisely a year ago today?
Oh my God, I've
no,
just remembered.
No, was it?
Yeah, we were watching a hologram of Liam Neeson punch out 80s pop star Jason Donovan on stage at the O2.
Oh yeah, I was at the O2 last night.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, hang on. Let me guess.
What was that for?
Mamma Mia.
Sorry to disappoint you here, but no, it wasn't Mamma Mia. It was Liam Gallagher.
Oh, right.
And it was brilliant. Bonehead was part of his band, and they played pretty much all the old Oasis songs, apart from Don't Look Back in Anger.
Well, yeah.
And Live Forever. But all the other classics were there and his new stuff. And yeah, it was a brilliant gig. Brilliant. Only got back at 2 o'clock this morning. I'm surprised I didn't wake you guys up actually getting in.
I did wonder. I didn't actually get much sleep last night. I was just drifting off to sleep in my bedroom in the West Wing of the Hooseum. My luxuriously appointed bedroom in the West Wing of the Hooseum. When I got woken up.
Mm.
Tap, tap, tap at the bloody window. And I thought, oh, what the hell's that? So I had to get out of bed.
Right.
You know what a cold night it was.
Yeah.
And I opened the window. You'll never guess who it was.
Oh, no, go on, tell us.
Bloody J.R. Southall. Clinging to the windowsill with his fingertips. And you know, it's three stories up. And he lets go with one hand so he can pass me this card. And, but he, having let go with one hand, he couldn't keep the grip. And he when I took the card off him, he plummeted,
oh,
boys.
Oh, God.
Three stories down to the street level. And I remember thinking to myself as I closed the window and drew curtains. And go, why am I doing a Cockney accent and then a Northern accent? And drew the curtains. Oh, I do hope he misses. You know those spiked iron railings we've had put around the Hooseum?
Yeah, do I ever, yeah.
To keep out the riffraff?
Yeah.
And I was reading on this bloody card. We called to deliver a parcel, but you were asleep. I wish I was bloody asleep, mate.
That isn't what you need.
Anyway.
That's not what you need at all.
First thing this morning when I popped out the front door of the Hooseum to pick up the, to pick up the milk.
Yeah.
I popped round the corner to the street underneath my bedroom window. And there was nothing there.
Oh.
Except a large blood stain on, those beautiful 18th century flagstones, been there for years. Mm. So I got one of the museum service robots out to. It's quite obvious, isn't it? I don't know whether I'm trying to attempt a Peter Cook voice or just do my own voice. You can tell why I usually leave the voices to you two, can't you? I got one of the service robots out to come and scrub the flagstones. You know, they've been there for so long. Beautiful patina.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Oh, they're lovely, Doc.
In order to get the bloodstain out, he had to take away the patina.
Not the patina.
Oh, I was quite shocked, really. Anyway, this, of course, Faithless Listeners, is our Christmas episode, which, of course, is always our games episode. Now, despite popular demand, we've decided not to do All in Wrestling this year. So those of you who tuned in specifically to try to catch a glimpse of Mark's two-handed snatch are going to be disappointed.
Oh, but I've got dressed up in my leotard and everything.
Any other news? Any other gossip before we start on the game?
Oh, did you hear about apparently that crossover between Torchwood and K9 that never happened?
No.
Yeah, seriously. Well, apparently, John Barrowman...
E-Barrow, dearly-dum. Often smart, but more often dumb. Wealth and fame, we've ignored. Podcasting is our reward. Look out, if you are feeling low. When you hear diddly-dum, you will say bagum.
And that's why the idea was cancelled, was it?
Yeah, because apparently that's why you shouldn't use a fish fork.
Oh, well, they do say, don't they? Send the fish knives, Norman.
Yeah.
Incidentally, listeners, if you're able to think of a better rhyme for Diddly Dum than E Bar Gum to go in our new Diddly Dum song, we'd be delighted to hear.
Oh, Tribe of Gum! Tribe of Gum!
Cheap bag gum, Tribe of Gum. Shall we have a competition?
Oh, yeah, go on.
The listener can come up with the best rhyme for Diddly Dum. Well, we'll think of what the prize is.
Diddly Dum, Zoe's bum.
So, any more news?
Well, yes, I had quite the find in a second-hand bookshop in Hastings, and it's the most bizarre bookshop I've ever been in. You go in, and it's absolutely this little sign on the door of this bookshop that says, "Apologies, but we are not buying any more books." And you open the door up, and the first thing that greets you on your left-hand side is a bookshelf, half of which has collapsed under the weight of the books on it, and a pile of about 500 books, just literally in a mound. And then there's some shelves with some books on in the middle, and then you go around the other side of that, and the shelves around the other side have collapsed, and there's just an avalanche of books. It's just literally piles of books. You just have to rummage through them. But I managed to climb to the back of the shop because I saw the neon Doctor Who logo, and I thought, oh, what's that all over right there on that distant pile of books? So I climbed over. It took me some time to negotiate, and it was the Doctor Who technical manual from 1983.
Oh!
Which I've always wanted, ever since I first saw it in Doctor Who Monthly, back in the day. And it didn't have a price on it. I said to the chap at the counter, "How much is this?" He looked at it, flicked through it for a bit, and went, £4. I said, okay. I thought, that's quite cheap. I've never seen one of these out in the wild before. And so I thought, £4? That's a bargain, isn't it? I bet. So I got home, checked on eBay to see how much they're worth. Can you guess how much?
$3.99. Oh, Mark. I actually used the blueprints of that book as a kid to make my cardboard TARDIS console.
Did you have this as a kid?
No, I had one of my best friends, her father had the book, so I borrowed it, and that's how I designed my my central column and my console, was off the designs that they had in that book. Brilliant.
I'm not sure why I suppose the Mavellans are technically robots, but I don't know why the Mavellans are in here. It's very odd. The Jaggeroth spaceship, the Doctor's car, as they call the Whomobile, and a foreword by John Nathan Turner, an introduction, where he says, "One of the most interesting parts of my job as producer of Doctor Who is the liaison with..." Oh, sorry, it's like doing my... "One of the most interesting parts of my job as producer of Doctor Who is the..." I'll do it in my Dave Kitchen voice.
Do it.
"Is the liaison with design group personnel." Oh, I shouldn't put the Dave Kitchen bit in. It confuses him. He got confused last time, didn't he? "Those responsible for the set, costumes, makeup and visual effects. The highly talented individuals who work on Doctor Who transform the writers, a huge spaceship looms in space, and the room looks like the inside of a lady's handbag into reality." And I'm thinking to myself, what script had "the room looks like the inside of a lady's handbag"?
Well, at least we now know what Alpha Centauri was supposed to represent. Obviously, lipstick. Lipstick, you filthy buggers. God's sakes.
But I've been scratching my head to think, what story would John Nathan Turner have been working on in 1983 where there's a room that looks like the inside of a lady's handbag? Any guesses?
Snake dance?
I don't know. It's bizarre, isn't it?
It is.
So, I enjoyed that bit.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted to finally get my hands on a copy. And I also found the novelisation of Pirate Planet by James Goss, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's quite good, actually, in that it's quite different from the TV.
Yes, because it's done from his first draft scripts, isn't it? So, yeah, quite interested to read that. And at the moment, I'm currently reading Patrick Troughton's biography written by his son, Michael Troughton.
Oh, right, that's a good one, though.
Which I picked up last year at Huat Hoy Lake.
Oh.
When Michael Troughton came along. Yeah, and it is pretty good, actually. I'm quite enjoying it. It's a lot of detail in it, but it's not too bogged down in it. I mean, he doesn't really get to Doctor Who until you get halfway through the book. But to be fair,
yeah,
I haven't felt the... Some biographies, it can often feel like the early years drag a bit, don't they, until the person's career kind of gets going. You know, oh, this is their grandparents, this is their parents, this is where they lived, this is where they moved to, this is what they did. It can be a bit dry, but actually, I found it a good read. So I'm about halfway through there at the moment. He's just been joined by Fraser Hines in The Highlanders. I imagine it's probably got a lot more Doctor Who in it than Christopher Eccleston's recent book.
Shall we descend into the bowels of the Whoseum and go to the festive cloister room?
Let's.
Right, follow me, chaps.
Oh, is this the industrial zone?
It's the cloister bells.
All right, let's all gather round President Barusa's chair. Let's start playing our game, shall we?
What are we playing, Hayden?
Let's play working title first, shall we?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So, dear listeners, if you have a copy of Doctor Who Yearbook 1995 to hand, then you can play this game too.
Well, actually, they won't be able to play the game, will they? They'd be cheating. Because they'd be able to see the answers.
No looking, you lot, in Doctor Who Yearbook 1995.
Is this the annual?
There were sort of versions of the annual during the 90s, but this one is full of production information. So you've got stuff like the serial numbers, the production dates, where they were filmed, who the writer was, yada, yada, yada. But they have got in here the working titles of certain stories.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought I would pick five at random and see how you two get on. Okay, let's see if you get this one. The Nine Maidens. Okay, that's Doc.
Stones of Blood.
Correctamundo.
Damn it, I knew that.
Okay, right. Here's number two. We have The Labyrinth. The Mark.
Horns of Nymon.
No, I'm afraid it isn't, which gives Doc a chance.
Really?
Yep.
It's not. What's it called? It's not the Time Monster, is it?
It isn't, I'm afraid, no. So that goes back to Mark, then.
What year was this again?
Okay, I shall give you both a clue. It's a story that was released on Blu-ray sometime this year. I'll say it again in a more sensual tone. The Labyrinth.
I can't think what it is.
Okay.
No, not can I.
It's Carnival of Monsters.
What?
Yeah, I know. A terrible title. Yep. It also had another working title of Peep Show.
Oh, I'd have got that.
I know, but then that would have been far too obvious. So I can go. Okay, speaking of obvious, the next one is Cat Flap. Oh, I think that's Mark.
Survival.
It is indeed. That's 2-1 to Mark.
Oh, of course, yes.
With two to go. So if Mark gets this next one correct, then Doc, unfortunately, will be leaving with nothing more than a diddly-dum pen.
How many have you done?
I've done three so far.
Oh, right, okay.
This is best of five. Okay, right, this one. Fingers on buzzers, gentlemen. The Lords of the Red Planet. Oh, that's Mark again.
Is it the Ice Warriors?
I'm afraid it isn't. No.
Oh, damn. Now I have to keep quiet. Well,
that one goes over to
Doc.
It's got
to be something to do with the Ice Warriors, isn't it? It's only one of these things that actually turns out to be one of the recent ones, is it?
No. This is only, so remember, this is only the classic era. This is 1995.
Oh, right, okay. No, I haven't the first idea.
Okay, it's
Seas of Death.
It's the, hey, there we go, Mark's won.
I knew what it was after, if it wasn't the Ice Warriors, it had to be Seas of Death.
Brilliant, there we go. So Mark has won the first game of the evening.
Well, yeah, can we do the last one? What's the last one you had lined up?
The last one I had lined up was The Destiny of Doctor Who.
Destiny of Doctor Who. Mm. Oh, that wasn't Power of the Daleks, was it?
It was indeed. Oh, that's a thrashing.
Boom. Do you know what? I only got that because I've literally just read that last night in the Patrick Troughton book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, we'd have been thrashing about for ages.
I gave away one that I was going to use earlier by saying Tribe of Gum, which was rather silly of me, but...
Oh, yeah, we'd have got that, though.
Yeah, everyone would have got that one straight away. Anyway, yeah, so there we go. There's working title.
Oh, well done, Mark.
Huh?
Well done.
Oh, thanks, Doc. Sound like you really meant it.
I did. Right, what's the next show we're playing?
Well, I recently was given by a friend of mine. His brother found it on it. For some reason, picked up a second-hand copy of the Doctor Who role-playing game by Fassa from 1985.
By who?
Fassa. F-A-S-A. Farsa.
It's German for water, that.
I'm not sure, but they did a lot of role-playing game stuff back in the 80s. They did a lot of Star Trek stuff as well.
Right, okay.
And Battletech. And they also released metal miniatures.
Oh!
So you could have got the 25mm metal miniatures of the five Doctors and the companion set with Sarah Jane, Lilo and Adric in, which I think is a great selection, obviously. Brigadier and unit troopers, Sergeant Benton and unit troopers. Because I've still got the order list for these miniatures in the box here. It's great as well, considering the game was released in 1985, so you can guess which Doctor they put on the front of the box.
Peter Cushing?
Colin.
No, it's Tom Baker, of course. Poor old Colin. So it's got a lovely picture of Tom Baker and Leela on the front, which is quite funny for 1985, isn't it, really? But I think that it just goes to show that even while the show was still on in the 80s, most people's recognition point with the series was still mostly, you know, the Fourth Doctor and Leela were still probably the iconic Doctor and companion.
Yeah. So what picture have they got of him on the front? Just a grinning one?
No, well, him sort of peering over Leela's shoulder. She's smiling and tugging his scarf.
Oh,
I said scarf.
So, Mark, can you read us in a sort of dramatic voice the blurb on the rear page?
Oh, what, on the back of the box?
Yeah.
Yes, I certainly can. The Master has stolen a weapon that will give him ultimate control of the universe and of time itself. The Daleks are invading Earth. The Cybermen are terrorising the space lanes, and the Suntarans and the Rutons are battling to see who wins the galaxy. Only you, the Time Lords and companions of the Celestial Intervention Agency, can stop these villains from changing the course of history. Your weapons are your wits and your TARDIS. To join the Doctor in his adventures to defeat the foes of the universe, you only need your imagination, a pencil, some paper, and this game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, so how does this game go?
Well, in the source book for Field Agents, towards the back, they have character sheets written out for many of the companions from the start up until 1985.
Yeah.
They have their attributes, strength, endurance, dexterity, charisma, mental and intelligence. Oh, no, intuition, sorry.
Is this like Top Trumps?
No, these are... You can roll up your characters and they'd have... Did you ever play Dungeons & Dragons when you were younger?
Did I, Buckery?
Did you ever play any role-playing games?
Only on computers later in my life. Other than that, only in the bedroom.
Yes, exactly. Well, no, you have to roll up characters. You have to roll up their attributes. Like I say, strength, endurance, dexterity.
Roll up?
Roll up with dice. So you randomly generate these characters. And then you put other characteristics onto them and you invent a character for them. Anyway, they've done all these character sheets for the companions that already exist.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I would like to read out the appearance description, and I'd like you to tell me, bearing in mind this game came out in 1985, I'd like you to tell me which companion you think I've just described.
Oh, let's do it.
Okey-dokey.
Brilliant.
I was going to say, we'll do first to five, but then if one of you gets them all right...
Yeah, that's a point.
Then I'll own your first five, won't I? So shall I just ask a load and see how we go?
Go for it.
Okay. So let's play Who Is That? Height, average. Build, average. Looks attractive.
Ooh.
Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 18. Recognition handle, and this is the bit that'll quite often give it away. Elfin face, wide smiling mouth.
Oh! Is it Tegan?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Is it Joe Grant?
No, I'm sorry. Would you like me to tell you what their significant skills are?
Go on then. Oh, hang on, Mark. Yes, please.
Social sciences, archaeology, earth. Average height, build, attractive looks, young adult. Elfin face, wide smiling mouth.
Wide smiling mouth?
Wasn't... Oh, no, it wasn't...
Yes.
Was it Mel?
Oh, not quite.
Oh! Is it Perry?
Yes, it is, Hayden.
Yeah! Okay. Ah, yes. Get in.
Okay, next one. Height, tall. Build, average. Looks, striking. Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 25. I don't know why I did that. Like,
why did you say it like that?
Actual 25. Age, 25. Recognition handle, flame red hair, freckles, cat-like grace. Yes.
Tiller.
No. It's the flame red hair. It's pretty off, isn't it? I wouldn't pay much attention to the... Yes, Hayden.
Is it Liz Shaw?
Nope.
Oh, bugger.
I mean, to be honest, I'd ignore the flame red hair.
Oh, that's what distracted me.
Well, I didn't write the book.
Cat-like Grace.
Oh!
Yes.
Chameleon.
No. Cat-like Grace. Oh!
Yes.
It's not Leela.
Yes, it is.
What? Red hair?
Flame red hair. I know.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Oh, this is the best game yet.
I know. It's great, isn't it? Right. Who is that? Height, average. Build, average. Looks attractive. Apparent age.
Is it Harry Sullivan?
No. I'll carry on. Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 38. Recognition handle, dark eyes.
Oh, God. So we're looking for a young adult who looks like they're heading into their 40s.
We want somebody whose character is 38 years old, but looks like a young adult. Yes.
Is this Susan Foreman?
Yes.
Correct. I knew it. You know why they've done that, don't you? It's because they've gone off the five doctors.
Oh,
so
right,
someone
yes.
who's heading into their middle age, but who when they play a character who's a that's how I got it. That's disrespectful.
So what's the score, Mark?
The score at the moment is 2-1 to Hayden.
Yes. Oh, hiss yourself.
Okay. Who is this? Height, tall, build. Average, looks, attractive, apparent age, mature adult, actual age, 36, recognition handle, bronze tan. Yes, Hayden.
Is it Ian Chesterton?
That is uncanny, yes it is.
What?
Yes. Yes.
What is going on?
Yes. 3-1. Okay, next one. Height, average. Build, average. Looks, striking. Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 25. Recognition handle, strong Australian accent, great legs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Tegan.
Yes, well done, Doc.
Oh, I really brought that one back, didn't I?
Okay, appearance. Height, short. Build, slim. Looks, striking. Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 22. Recognition handle, Clumsy. Who is that?
Ah! Oh, it's Joe Grant.
Yes, it is. Well done, Hogan.
Thank you.
Okay, the next one. Appearance, height, average. Build, average. Looks, attractive. Apparent age, adolescent. Actual age, 17. Recognition handle, traditional Scottish dress and heavy Highland Scots accent. Who is that?
It's Jamie McCrimmon.
I'm not sure who to give that to you. I think you both buzzed at the same time there. I think I'm just going to have to call that one a draw.
Okay, we'll draw that one then. So that's 5-4 then? No, 4-3.
Okay. Appearance. Height, average. Build, average. Looks, striking. Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 19. Recognition handle, aristocratic features. Who is that? Who buzzed first?
That was me.
Yes?
Is it Romana 2?
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
Oh!
Yes.
Is it Nyssa?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well
done.
Oh, Jesus.
For all.
That's an incredible guess.
It wasn't a guess. I worked it out.
Okay, appearance, height, average. Build, average. Looks, attractive. Apparent age, young adult.
How did I guess?
Actual age, 31. Recognition handle, smiling expression, luxurious hair. Who is that?
Romana 1?
No, I'm afraid that's incorrect, Doc.
Oh.
Can you please tell me their vitals again?
What, their recognition handle?
Their recognition handle, sorry, yes.
Smiling expression, luxurious hair.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a whim here and I'm going to say Polly.
Oh.
Oh, that doesn't sound good for me.
No, it's not.
Smiling face, luxuriant hair.
Sergeant Benson?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yes, it is.
What? Oh, for goodness sakes. Surely it's journalist, inquisitive mind.
Exactly.
Luxurious hair. I mean, yeah, okay, Elizabeth Satan had a lovely hair. She had lovely hair, but... Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, keep going.
Okay, appearance. Height, tall. Build, slim. Looks, average. Apparent age, adolescent. Actual age, 18. Recognition handle, tattoo of interlocking triangles on left arm and pale blue eyes. Who is that?
It's Turlo.
5-5. Right, okay. Appearance. Height, average. Build, average. Looks, attractive. Apparent age, mature adult. Actual age, 35. Recognition handle, aloof expression. Who is that?
Is it Stephen Taylor?
No. Yes.
Liz Shaw?
Nope.
Ah!
Yes, Hayden.
Barbara.
It is Barbara.
No, yeah. She's just aloof.
Looks so harsh, isn't it?
Oh, what a game. What a game this is.
6-5 to Hayden.
So it's what?
6-5 to Hayden.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It is 6-5. So, appearance, height, short. Build, slim. Looks, attractive. Apparent age, adolescent. Actual age, 18. Recognition handle, almost childlike appearance. Who is that? Hayden.
It's Victoria.
Wrong.
No!
Doc?
Well, it certainly can't be Adrix. It says slim. So, Zoe.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Zoe.
For Jesus.
6-6.
Oh, God.
Oh,
no.
Oh!
So it's the decider.
Okay, the tiebreaker.
Done. Here we are. Yes, the tiebreaker.
I've got a feeling he's left us a doozy at the end, Doc.
Height, average. Build, average. Looks, striking. Apparent age, young adult. Actual age, 120. Recognition handle, gentle, bubbly, long blonde hair. Who is that?
It's Romana.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask for more than that. That's not what I've got written on the card.
It's Romana too.
No, I'm sorry. I need a little bit more than that.
Romana Vadam Dulumba.
It is Romana too, but I'm afraid I can't let you have that. It's Lady Romana Devor Trilunda.
Oh, for goodness.
So I'm sorry, Hayden.
Oh,
I can't give you that point.
No.
Okay, so we'll have to have another one.
God almighty.
Height. Tall. Build. Average. Looks. Attractive. Apparent age. Middle-aged adult. Actual age. 50. Recognition handle. Uniformed. Bold moustache. Piercing blue eyes. Erect posture. Who is that?
It's Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge-Stewart.
Yes, well done.
Yay!
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
That was a great game. I loved that.
Great legs.
Attractive. Right, gents. So, I've got a second game, and it's an old favourite for you lovely listeners out there. It is...
Oh.
Who Said What?
What?
Whoa.
Okay, so let's meet today's contestants. In the red corner, we have got the lovely Doc Hume. Doc.
Hello, Hayden.
Hello, how are you? And where are you from?
I'm from Manchester, Hayden.
Oh, I'd never tell.
You never mention it.
And it's written here on the card, Doc, that your occupation is Psycho the Rapist. Oh, sorry. Sorry, everybody. That says Psychotherapist. And in the blue corner, who are you, my lovely friend?
Hi, I'm Mark from Kent.
Hello, Mark, and what do you do for a living?
I'm a retired taxi driver.
Oh, I see. That sounds fantastic. So what you mean by a retired taxi driver is that people don't pay you to drive around now, no?
Yes, basically I just drive family members around for nothing.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. I understand that you taxi drivers have an old saying, don't you, Mark?
Well, indeed. As I was having a little chat with Brian Caracher just the other year, and he said to me, he said, Mark, be lucky. And so I'm hoping tonight, Hayden, that I'm going to be lucky.
Oh, fantastic. Well, be lucky, and of course to yourself, Doc, as well tonight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we have got on offer here is a question in the form of a quote from a Doctor Who character, and there are 2 points on offer. You can guess the character correctly and you get a point, and you can guess the story that the quote is from for another point. Right, so let's play Who Said What? Okay, fingers on buzzers, please, gentlemen. I shall be taking you to Old London Town in the country of UK, ruled over by good King Wenceslas. Now human beings worshipped the great god Santa, a creature with fearsome claws, and his wife Mary. And every Christmas Eve, people of the UK go to war with the country of Turkey.
Are we playing yet? Are you just rambling?
We are playing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's the one with the, is it Hyacinth Bucket's husband in, Voyage of the Damned?
Yes, it is indeed.
Mr. Copper.
Right, Mr. Copper is correct. Now, that's 1 point to Doc. Doc, do you remember the story that quote comes from?
Voyage of the Damned.
It is, absolutely. That's 2 points to Doc. And just a little note here for you out there, ladies and gentlemen, and of course our contestants this evening. These are all from Doctor Who Christmas specials.
Oh, right.
Now, Mark, if you were on the ball, you'd have demanded a recount then, saying, I'd have got it if you'd said that.
Yeah.
You might have even got even more in pain than knowing how to pronounce Wenceslas.
So Santa, Good King Wenceslas, Christmas Eve, and Turkey wasn't enough of a clue for you both then, no?
Bit vague, really.
Hayden?
Yes.
I was thinking Easter.
When you were a child, did you not sing carols at Christmas?
Only some.
How do you not know how to pronounce Wenceslas?
No, because in the song it's Good King Wenceslas once looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
No, it's Good King Wenceslas looked out.
No, I thought it was only last looked out.
No, it is! Good King Wenceslas looked out.
Oh, what Good King Wenceslas looked out.
It is!
Yeah. Oh, it is, yeah, it is. Okay.
And I shall be taking you to old London town in the country of UK. Ruled over by Good King Wenceslas. Now, human beings worship the great god Santa, creature with fearsome claws, and his wife Mary. And every Christmas Eve, the people of UK go to war with the country of Turkey.
Okay, fingers on buzzers. There's a horror movie called Alien? That's really offensive. No wonder everyone keeps invading you. There was a buzz in there from Mark, I believe.
Yeah, it was me. And I was going to say Last Christmas.
It is, yes. That's a point for the correct story, but who said it?
Was it the Doctor?
It was indeed. Yes, it was the 12th Doctor, as played by Peter Capaldi. So that's 2-2.
There's a horror movie called Alien. That's really offensive. No wonder everyone keeps invading you.
Okay, fingers on buzzers again, please. The skies of this entire world are mine. My family tamed them, and now I own them. Oh, I think that was Doc.
Is it Kazran Sadiq in Christmas Carol?
That is fantastic. Yes, it is. It was indeed Kazran from A Christmas Carol. Matt Smith's first Christmas special, first aired on Christmas Day 2010. So that's 4-2 to Doc. Wonderful. He's just on a line of coke to celebrate there, ladies and gentlemen. This guy sure knows how to take part in a quiz.
The skies of this entire world are mine. My family tamed them, and now I own them.
Okay, right. Fingers on buzzers again, please. And it's terrible. That place was flooded and burning, and they were dying. And you stood there like, I don't know, a stranger. And then you made it snow. I mean, you scare me to death. Oh, that's Mark.
Yeah, it's Donna.
It is.
And it's Runaway Bride.
Fantastic. Yes, it was. So that's 4-all. 2 points there to Mark. Wonderful stuff.
What was that referring to?
So that's the scene, ladies and gentlemen, when...
Under the Thames.
That's the scene right at the very end when the Doctor invites her to come along. She says no because he's effectively dangerous, right. But he needs to find someone to stop him from being like
right.
That.
And it's terrible. That place was flooded and burning and they were dying and you stood there like, I don't know, a stranger. And then you made it snow. I mean, you scared me to death.
Okay. Right, fingers back on buzzers, please. I can't even go shopping with you. We get attacked by a brass band. Oh, that's Doc.
Is that Rose in... Oh, what's the first one called? Don't dare. No!
Oh, come on!
Oh, I'll give up. I can't remember.
I think I'm going to have to pass that over to Mark, I'm afraid.
It's a Christmas invasion.
Achoo! Oh, sorry. Oh, hang on, you're going to have to edit this out. I'm about to sneeze again. Okay.
I think we all know who's doing the lines of coke.
Okay, yes, that's a correct point to Mark. And, unfortunately...
Is that 5-5?
I'm afraid it isn't. No, it isn't, because I'm afraid Doc got the character wrong. It wasn't Rose.
Oh.
So it's the right story, but I'm afraid the character will have to be passed over to Mark. So, Mark, this is your chance to go 6-4 up.
Oh, is it Jackie?
I'm afraid it isn't, so this is the chance for Doc to draw even here.
Is it Mickey?
It is indeed. It's Mickey in The Christmas Invasion.
I can't even go shopping with you. We get attacked by a brass band.
Right, so it's 5-5. So this is very evenly matched once again. Okay, fingers on buzzers. With this one, you've got to guess the incarnation of the Doctor as the character. Okay? I'm usually called the Doctor, or the Caretaker, or Get Off This Planet. Though, strictly speaking, that probably isn't a name. Okay, that's Doc.
I've no idea, but that I can imagine him saying that last bit. Though, strictly... What was it? Though, strictly... That sort of gabbling voice he does. I'm going to guess it's the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith.
It's correct! So you get a point for the Doctor, but do you know...
It's just that thing where he sort of says something and then sort of corrects himself at a quicker pace of speed. So, well, we've already had Christmas Carol, haven't we? Oh, was it the dreadful one about the wooden trees? The Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe.
Yes, it is. So Doc moves ahead again. It's 7-5.
I agree.
But I don't understand. Are you the new caretaker?
Usually called the Doctor, or the caretaker, or Get Off This Planet. Though, strictly speaking, that probably isn't a name.
And that was a total guess.
Okay. Next question. Chance for Mark here to draw level once again. They're alive and human. Then don't you dare, sir. Don't you dare put him before them. Now you take this. That's an order, Doctor. Okay, go
it's
on,
not,
Mark.
I can't remember. Is it the Lethbridge Stewart from the young... Oh, I can't remember what the character's name is. He's a Mark Gatiss' character. The tension waiting for him to say silence, and then you think, what have I said? And suddenly you hear him blowing his nose.
Oh dear. Okay. No, you're wrong, Mark. Sorry about that. Okay, so that goes over to Doc.
Can we have it again?
They're alive and human. Then don't you dare, sir. Don't you dare put him before them. Now you take this. That's an order, Doctor.
This is New Who.
Yeah.
Dare, sir, this is an order.
There's a little more of the quotation if you need
this
it.
This is Wilf.
If you need... Oh! Is this Wilf, he says. He knows it's Wilf.
Of course he would. It'd be from his favourite story.
So, yes, indeed.
I can't remember what Tennant's Christmas stories were. Hang on. No, I can't think.
Okay, so there's a point to Doc for Wilf, so he's now on 8. No, hang on. Was it 7 all before this? Or was it 7-5? No, hang on.
7-5 it was.
7-5, okay. So now, yep, so Doc's got a correct point for Wilf.
Is it The End of Time, Part 1?
No. But it's not Part 1, it's Part 2.
Oh, but that's not Christmas, that's New Year's Day.
Yeah, but it's a Christmas story, isn't it? So what's that? So I'm giving you the point for that. You the point. Yeah, I am. Yeah, sorry. That was
If the master dies, what happens to all the people?
I don't know.
Doctor, what happens?
The template snaps.
Or they go back to being human. They're alive and human. And don't you dare, sir. Don't you dare put him before them. Now you take this. That's an order, Doctor. Take the gun. You take the gun and save your life.
Okay, so we've got Doc on 8 points and Mark on 6. There are only 4 questions left, so there's only 8 points left to play for.
Oh,
okay.
Anything could happen.
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
Right, okay, next quote. He was different once, a long time ago. Kind, yes. A hero, even. A saver of worlds. But he suffered losses which hurt him. Now he prefers isolation to the possibility of pain's return. Kindly choose a word to indicate your understanding of this.
Hold on.
Wow, you're right. It sounds like you're having a seizure then.
Mark.
Is it Madame Vastra?
Yes.
Is it time of the Doctor?
Oh! Okay, right. 1 point...
Is the snowman?
1 point to Mark.
Of course!
For the character, Madame Vastra. But then 1 point to Doc for the correct story. So yes, that's 9-7 now.
I'm banging my head on my source book for field agents.
I thought it was slow clapping then.
He was different once, a long time ago. Kind, yes. A hero even, a saver of worlds. But he suffered losses which hurt him. Now he prefers isolation to the possibility of pain's return. Kindly choose a word to indicate your understanding of this.
What's that line from that film? Every time he summons something, I pull it back or something.
American Gigolo.
Is it?
No.
Oh, I've just typed in. Every time, ... I pull it back. And you know what's come up on Google?
Go on.
624 questions. Foreskin cracks on uncircumcised penis.
Oh.
No, it was The Godfather. Just when they thought I was out, I pulled myself back in.
Okay, right. Are we ready for the next question?
Yes.
When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. Okay, Doc.
It's got to be River, hasn't it?
It is River. Yes. So.
And is it that? Is it the the husbands of?
The husbands of River Song. River Song. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back.
Oh, now then, we need some. Mark has to get the next two right for him to draw level and then go down to his tiebreaker. Okay, so it's 11-7 to Doc at this point, but it's still all to play for. Okay, next quote is, "And if you give it, war will be the consequence. I will not let that happen. At any cost, speak your name and this world will burn." Oh, okay, that's Doc.
I think it's Matt Smith's regeneration scene. And I think it's Time of the Doctor. I don't know who said it.
Okay. Did you want to pass it over?
Yes, please. I'll pass it over. Yeah.
Okay, so... But you retain the point for the correct story. But Mark, here's your chance for a consolation point here.
Is it the Time Lords?
I'm afraid it isn't.
Right.
Is it that woman who runs that sort of time agency?
I don't...
Tasha Lem?
It is Tasha Lem. Yes, it is.
Oh, but I can't. Jammy.
I can't give that point.
No, that's fine.
Because you'd already got it. Already given a thing. I'm sorry.
They're asking for my help.
And if you give it, war will be the consequence. I will not let that happen. At any cost. Speak your name, and this world will burn.
But you know what, Mark? It's Christmas. So I'm going to give you that point.
Hooray!
Because at this moment in time, I don't think Doc can be caught. Let's have a look.
No, we can't.
Okay, right, so... consolation... God, it's like Ming the Merciless over there.
Thank you.
Consolation question. No, I really don't think you do. Everyone who's ever met you does. You're amazing, Doctor. Never forget that. Never, ever.
Yeah, it does make you think, doesn't it? As you're getting towards this period, there's so much sycophantic brown-nosing towards the Doctor, isn't it? Oh, Doctor, you're wonderful. You're amazing. Very godlike. Yeah. Can we have it again, please, Hayden?
You certainly can. No, I really don't think you do. Everyone who's ever met you does. You're amazing, Doctor. Never forget that. Never, ever.
trying to think of what ones we haven't done, but...
Well, there's only one.
Oh, what?
Okay, yep, that's Mark.
It's the next Doctor.
Oh, sh**. Sorry, there's two. There's two.
You laid a trap for me. And I piled
well,
into
it. In that case...
No, do that again. No, we're going to have to do that again. Sorry, because that wasn't fair, was it?
No, because that was fun.
Yeah, no, keep
that's
it.
That's true.
Fine.
God, okay, go.
In that case, it has to be Twice Upon a Time.
Yes, it is. And do you remember who said it at all?
Well, something tells me it wasn't Rusty. it's got to be Bill Potts, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is indeed. So, with 14 points to 8, Doc yeah, is this year's...
It wasn't Bill Potts, though, was it? It's just like a pretend Bill Potts.
Oh, for God. I'm sorry, that isn't what I have here on my card. So,
screw your damn cards.
You know me in the future. Do I ever understand?
No. I really don't think you do. Everyone who's ever met you does. You're amazing, Doctor. Never forget that. Never, ever.
14 to 8. I rather think that's what they call... Computer, could we have the Wipeout sound effect, please?
We'll see you next week on Wipeout.
No, the other one. Thank you.
Ah, oh, what a fantastic display of nerd... ism going on there from these two.
14 to 8. Wasn't that the Spurs West Ham result? Doc's
sweet 3 points.
Doc's treading dangerous ground.
Now, in second place was Mark on 8 points, but this year's winner, ladies and gentlemen, is Doc with 14 points.
Hurrah! Mm.
And that is this Christmas edition of Who Said What?
Well, faithless listeners, we come now to the high point, the thing that has been a staple of every diddly-dum Christmas since the very beginning. So that would be, bloody hell, this is our sixth Christmas. The thing that attracts the jeunesse dorée to listen to us. That sort of bright young things, by the way. That's patronising, wasn't it?
Just a little bit, just a little bit, yeah.
And that is the Diddly Dum Gold Run.
Yeah.
For which we had to leave the cloister and go to... it's the only game that's so important that we've had an entire wing added onto the Hooseum to host the studio in which it's played. So if we just make our way there, boys. Computer, could you play the introductory music, please, to the Gold Run?
I'm hand jiving.
And as we go, we must...
Come hand jive with us.
You know how when Lawrence Scarman reaches the final chamber in the Pyramid of Mars and Sutek tells him to make the sign of the eye in order to open the door? We can only enter the Gold Run studio by doing the blockbuster hand jive, so...
Oh, dear.
Make the sign of the jive! The sign of the jive! As regular listeners will know, the Blockbusters Gold Run is the game we play every end of the year with questions based on what's happened in Diddly Dum in the previous year. Although as this has become slightly more of a strain to put together in time, scattered around the outside will be questions from previous years that never got answered. And so towering above us, listeners, in our Gold Run studio is a gigantic Gold Run game board. And if you'd like to see a picture of this, you can find it on almost any of the social platforms we inhabit. You can find it on our Twitter feed at diddly_dum, on our Facebook feed at diddlydum, or maybe more easily at our podcast blog at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com, and you'll be able to follow along with the boys as they work their way across the game board. So, are we ready?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you're ready, can I ask you boys to put yourselves on the hotspot, please? Okay, if you're ready, it's gold to gold in 60 minutes or less, and the clock starts when you choose your first tile.
What should we go for first, Mark? Should we start at the top, FRR?
You pick first.
Let's go for FRR.
This is how Buck prefers to eat his jam and bread.
5 rounds rapid.
Well done. Choose a tile, please.
ASPP.
You might at least pretend you're trying to get to the other side. Oh, a hard one. A hard one. A sure defence against nightmares about the White Witch.
Ooh.
ASPP, a sure defence against nightmares about the White Witch.
ASPP.
No.
I really... Pass. No, yeah, I don't get it either.
It's... You need a good memory for this. It's Alan's Stuffed Penguin Peter.
Oh, of course. Bless. Yes, of course.
Choose another tile, please.
We'll have to be...
Oh, no, you're blocked from going straight down.
we'll have to try going across, then.
we can't...
And there were some nice ones down there as well. Of course, you're supposed to start in the middle.
We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Uh-oh. We're going to have to go through it. Can we go for SS, please, Doc?
What was the name of Ed Stradling's fanzine?
Sonic Screwdriver.
No.
Oh.
It was Shaven Stunners.
It wasn't, was it? I don't remember that one.
I completely boxed it. You have to start completely again.
Okay. So we start in the middle.
Go on then.
HCOASN.
Tried to hide from Hayden in Romania.
Hayden?
Trying to hide from Hayden in Romania.
Tried to. It's not Hayden's cousin or something, is it?
In Romania? I've never been to Romania.
Where's Prague?
That's Czech Republic.
Let's start this thing. Ask for... And the question is, it tried to hide from Hayden in Prague.
Ah.
Why? I think Romania...
Come on, Hayden. Is that Hayden's neck snapping? Just...
That sundial is ticking away.
I don't know. I lived it, and I don't know.
Hayden's cousin.
No, just not Hayden.
Oh.
You giving up?
Oh, no, I don't want to. We've only got one right. So
oh, God.
Because if you can't get two below it, we're really screwed.
Yeah, go on then. I give up. Oh, this is terrible.
It's Henry Cavill on a stag night.
That was Budapest. Wasn't Prague.
I think the clue.
Got the country. Oh dear.
I think we'll leave that in. Try another.
Go on, Mark.
Up to you, Hayden.
Oh, sorry. No, can we have PDIHC, please, Doc?
Our plea for sympathy when recording in the summer.
Oh, so it's about something about a heat wave, yeah?
Yes. Do you remember that ice microphone that I.
Oh, podcasters die in hot cars.
That's it. Well yes. Done. Brilliant.
Oh,
that was... We made it.
What was Castellan Spadrel's line?
In the light of your impressive record so far, I would make no rash commitments.
Right, choose another tile, please.
Can we have TTBB, please?
TTBB. Blake's cliffhanger to podcast number 70.
Blake's?
Don't think science fiction.
Which podcast, sorry? Number?
Podcast 70. Oh, that's going to help.
Oh, God.
Blake's cliffhanger to podcast number 70. if you remember, we dashed in to the museum.
Oh, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright.
Well done. We weren't sure whether Tommy was going to... yes,
oh, right. I wasn't on that one. I remember listening to it now, though.
Choose a title, please.
But can we go for RUTDF, please?
RUTDF. Hayden and Sophie were presented with a bill by their wedding hotel manager for what?
Oh, something up the dance floor.
Yeah.
Ripping up the dance floor.
That's yeah, right.
That was Mark ripping up the dance floor as well.
Choose a tile.
Let's have MMFBG.
MMFBG.
Chuckling away to himself.
MMFBG. The sweet guitarist's embarrassing mistake.
Mistaking Mark for Bob Geldof.
So, choose a title, please.
I would like to go for... Can we go for Bat BFI, please? BATBFI.
February's long-forgotten fan scandal.
Oh, long-forgotten scandal.
February's long-forgotten fan scandal. And I'll give you a clue. It wasn't that some fan did something scandalous. It's that it was something that caused uproar in fandom.
Did it have something to do with the British Film Institute?
Oh, booing.
Booing!
Oh.
Well done.
God, I forgot they did
that. Do you remember the screening of Legopolis when they announced one of Jodie's box sets as a prize and yes, some right. people booed?
Yeah.
Right, so choose another title, please.
DNAKW.
Hayden's worst impression this year.
God, there's so many to choose from. Oh, I know the last two. Davros, Nider, and Kenneth Williams.
You got all the words right except the first and the third. Something Nider, something Kenneth Williams.
Doing Nider as Kenneth Williams.
Yes.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Should we have MATJC, please?
Yeah, MATJC. An expression of contrition at Stevenson.
That was the Blake 7 thing, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh! What, your day out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to get this thing.
An expression of contrition.
It's all on Mark.
Mark's apology. To
yeah.
Jan Chappell. Is it Mark's apology to Jan Chappell?
It is indeed, yes. Choose a title, please.
Can we have SFE OO, please?
Yeah, I like the look of that one.
SFEOOH.
Sfeo.
No.
It's what people say when the phone rings.
Concentrate. It doesn't happen
right.
often.
Right, concentrate, right, okay.
SFEOOH. One of Mark's rare opportunities to out-jam Hayden.
Never. it's not the Eye of the Engine artwork. That doesn't fit in, does it?
It's a long time before that.
Long time?
Well, it's still within this year, I think.
Hang on. I've been out-jammed.
Why can't I remember? I'd love that.
It does sound like the kind of thing you wouldn't let me forget, to be fair.
No. Oh, God. It's not signed, is it?
It is.
Oh. Signed photo.
No.
Signed first edition.
Yep.
Oh. Signed of. First edition of...
What's OH?
Octa Hussy.
Signed first edition of... Operation Hate.
Yes.
Oh. Damn, that's why I couldn't remember. Yeah,
wow.
It's the Richard Franklin book, of course. Oh, God.
Was that the one where he turns UNIT into an agency called Stop It?
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, I know. It's strange how it slipped my mind.
Choose another title, please. Unless you'd like to go exploring.
I am curious as MSMIL.
You're in quite a safe position because you've got three reds at DNAKW, MAT, and SFE, so you can't really get boxed in. So you can. What were you curious at, Mark?
MSMIL.
MSMIL. Who was a family friend of Peter Cushing's?
Oh, Mark's sister's mum-in-law.
Yes.
Brilliant.
God, that's going back a bit, isn't it? Oh, mind you, you did say the outside ones would be old ones.
You can tell the ones at the bottom are the ones that people hardly ever choose, so they tend to be that have been there for years.
Oh, right. Okay.
Can we go for ICHST, please?
I hope you're doing this because you're hoping that H will be a hate.
Well, that was part of the game plan.
ICHST. What was black with narrow green diagonal stripes?
Ice cream Hayden should taste. Who's it referring to? Can I ask for a...
It's referring to a companion. So the first letter should be obvious.
Ian Chesterton's...
It's Ian, but not Chesterton. What was black with narrow green diagonal stripes?
Well, it was his school tie.
Yes.
Ian Chatterton's.
No. Which school?
Ian's... Oh,
Coal Hill school tie.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Which I still think is strange, because you don't have school ties, as in old school ties, at, say, non-public schools, do you? So the only reason he would have had that tie is if he actually was a pupil there, wouldn't he?
Maybe he liked it so
much. If you're a pupil there, yeah, that's possible. And, of course, it got dissolved on Vectris, was it? The web planet? Choose another title, please. Oh, we're getting digitally close.
Oh, it's... RCOSA.
RCOSA. Doc and Mark were prompted to bring war crimes charges against a Coronation Street character after seeing what? Doc and Mark were prompted to bring war crimes charges...
Roy Cropper on Secret Army.
Yes. Brilliant, now we both got that at the same time, though.
Yes.
Choose another title, please.
Can I go for K-E-L-L-S-B, please?
This is a rather provocative one, which may get us sent to Coventry. K-E-L-L-S-B. Why It Takes You Away, one of last season's episodes, Why It Takes You Away wasn't filmed in Exeter. K-E-L-L-S-B. Why It Takes You Away wasn't filmed in Exeter.
Oh.
What do we know about Exeter?
Is that where the Blue Box podcast comes from?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the letters, does it stand for letters or letter?
No.
You're thinking postman. Sorry, yeah. This probably shouldn't put that in, but...
this is tough.
No, I might have to pass on that.
It's Kevin Eldon looks like Simon Brett.
Oh, of course. Oh.
Okay, we'll have AAADE then.
AAADE, an opportunity for bumping into Sergeant Benton.
Oh, obviously that's at Oldbourne. An afternoon at Devil's End.
Well done.
Hey!
Okay. Well, let's have a YNAWIS then.
Riverbirds provide good company for smokers.
Oh, here we go. With this be Hayden's misremembered advertising line. You're never alone with a bloody swan.
And that's Blockbusters.
Oh, the shame, the shame.
Well done. That's your sixth gold run. Let's see what you've won. Mark and Hayden, have you ever wanted to visit the beautiful city of Prague? Well, don't go to Romania. We finished everything?
We have.
And so, as we slump back exhausted onto our antique fainting couches, It only remains for us to wish you all a very happy Christmas and a very safe New Year. And we'll see you all on the 15th of January. Oh, maybe we won't. Depending on our other commitments, we'll either see you shortly after New Year's Day for a review of the first episode of the new series, or we'll certainly see you on the 15th of January for what will be, of course, the podcast's sixth birthday.
Crikey.
Sixth birthday, bloody hell. Who would have thought it would last this long? I certainly didn't. And you, Hayden. Lordy. If occasionally it might be jogs of memory, something like this, and I realise you've been there for five of those years, haven't you?
Yeah.
When did you join us, Mark?
I joined you in 2016. Isn't it 2016 summer?
Yeah.
2016?
It was. It was your first regular episode was in August, I think, 2016.
Unfortunately, I can't just type.
I can do it. Hang on, I've got it on my back catalogue. Hang on. Hang on a minute. I've
Diddy
got it.
Dumb nerd.
Can't just type Mark into a thingy because we've had so many bloody marks on the show.
I can tell you. Give me about 10 seconds and I'll get the... Okay, Mark's first... Okay, well, my first appearance was episode... Bloody hell. Episode 28. 1 or 28 on the 27th of February, 2015. And Mark's first was the 7th... Oh, no, sorry, the 9th of August, 2016, in episode 60, Murray's Mint.
So, that was the... That was July 2016. So, that will be 3.5 years.
Wow.
And so... Oh, hang on, what's... Do I hear a sound, Mark? Is there something wriggling down the chimney, I wonder?
Wow.
Oh, hello there. Merry Christmas.
Who's this has just come down the chimney? It's...
It's Father Christmas.
Oh, and he's dressed like I always imagined him. What do you think, Mark?
Well, he's dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes are all tarnished with ashes and soot.
Yeah, and look at his eyes, how they twinkle. His dimples, oh, how merry. And look at his cheeks, they're like roses. His nose like a cherry.
And his droll little mouth is drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin is as white as the snow.
Father Christmas.
Oh, now then, have you been good little boys this year? Ho, 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 ho.
We've been bad, Father Christmas, we've been very bad. Yes, you'll find all our stockings hung there on the fireplace, thank you. Everyone's remarks to the old soothsayers. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight,
"Don't dump bodies in the river."
Father Christmas, Father Christmas, we have enemy sleighs in Sector 27.
It's a trap!
And to play us out tonight, at this lovely festive time of year, Band-Aid have got back together. After many years and many petitions for them, to do the contrary. Here they are. To play us out, we have the Soothsayer and Friends with a very special rendition of a Christmas classic. Take care of yourselves, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the truck tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain dew. I turned my face away, but dreamed about ya. Got on the lucky one, came in at 10 to 1. I've got a feeling in me back tooth, this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I could see a better time when all our dreams come true. Look at the fire, Kermit. Look what our future has in store for us.
Oh, it's not Kermit, silly, it's Jackie Tyler. They've got cars big as cars, they've got rivers of gold, but the windows look pretty as my face through the old. When he first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, he promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You're handsome!
You're pretty, Queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the trucks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The Beatles and the NYPD choir were singing Gold with me. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. Take it, Kermit. I don't want to sing this anymore. Go on, Kermit, you do it. Okay, Jackie, if you insist. Now, where were we? You're a bum, you're a punk.
You're an old frog on junk, like the bear almost dead and a trip in that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Merry Christmas, you... Oh, my God, I can't say that word.
No! We're singing. Go away, babe.
And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. I can't really keep this up. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Hartnell.
Yay!
Do I sing it to
me? I'll tell you what, Kermit. Oh, I could have bit someone.
Yes, sir. Well, so could anyone. Mm-hmm. You took my dreams from me. Yes, you did, young man. When I first found you.
Who let her in? I kept them with me, Kermit.
I'm not Kermit.
I put them with my own.
Why does he keep calling me
can't
Kermit, sir?
Can't make it all alone.
Chesterfield, what is he saying?
I can't hear him. You.
Is it my turn? It's my turn, is it?
The boys of the NYPD choir
were singing
Go Away Bay.
And the bells were ringing out
for Christmas Day.
Yes, I think that went rather well.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas to one and all. All of you listeners of Diddly Dub, remember to dig deeply into your pockets at Christmas for old codgers like me. Incidentally, this record is available in the foyer. I'll have a look at the record sales. I'll look in the fire. Blah, 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 blah. Set? Oh. All right, the song's coming to an end. Oh, fair enough, I suppose. It's only every once every, 2 years I get asked to do this. They don't pay me much here in the museum. All that soothsaying. Week in, week out, reassuring Mark that yes, don't worry, the girls still like you. Reassuring Doc that yes, I'm sure that Hayden will give you your Super Nintendo back one day. And reassuring Hayden that one day there will be peace on Earth. Merry Christmas to one and all.
You have been listening to the Diddly Dum Podcast. Find us on our blog at dillydumpodcast.wordpress.com, on iTunes, Facebook, Audioboo, and Stitcher.com at diddlydum, on Twitter at diddly_dum, or email us at diddlydumpodcast@yahoo.co.uk.
Diddly dum. The empty space that circles dime. I mean, time, Jesterton.